Our reading is actually going to be from Psalm 119, verses 169 through to 176. And we are going to find that this passage is a wonderful reference verse that substantiates the truths that we are studying in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. But I'd like us, instead of rereading the Hebrew passage, to read Psalm 119, verses 169 through the 176. Follow along as I read. Let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Father, bless our hearts with the truths of this psalm, for the precious truths that speak about your holy word and the power in your words and how they energize our spirit. Help me to be a teacher that I people. But hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and may ultimately the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In America today, the term Energizer Bunny has entered our vernacular as a term for anything that seems to have endless energy, or often it refers to someone who has immense stamina and energy. Several of our U.S. presidents and candidates have been compared to the Energizer Bunny, including, sad to say, the late President George H.W. Bush, who, by the way, passed on. He was known during his campaign as like an Energizer Bunny. And then in 2004, the same vernacular was attributed to Howard Dean. And some in our day have attributed to President Donald Trump with his seamless, endless energy. The Energizer Bunny is the marketing icon and the mascot of the Energizer Battery Company of North America. And I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with the pink furry rabbit, you know, wearing the sunglasses and donning the blue and black striped sandals, and he beats on that brass drum. And the brass drum reads the Energizer logo. The Energizer Bunny became famous in the mid-90s, and it quickly took off and became a pop culture icon. The thing is that the commercial claims that their batteries keep going and going and going and going with endless power. Now that's a nice thought, isn't it? But we all know that is not true. Nothing has everlasting power except God Himself. Amen? The purpose of talking about the Energizer Bunny is because in this passage of Hebrews, if you're in the book of Hebrews, and we are on chapter 4 and verse 12. And last time we looked at where it said the Word of God is quick. That means it is alive, it is living. The Bible is unlike any other book, it's a living book. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. But today we move to the word that the Word of God is powerful. And the word for powerful in the passage is the Greek word energris. Energris is actually the word from which we get our English word energize or energizer. And so it got me thinking about the Energizer Bunny and how it just keeps going and going. The Bible is the only book of power or thing of power that keeps going and going and going and going. Its energy never ceases. It is a spiritual ball. And it has spiritual energy given by God. God's Word always energizes. It never ceases from its power. Doesn't need batteries. It is divinely energized. What a motivation for us as believers. That when we're down and we're feeling burned out, that we can go to a book that we know is living, and we can go to a book that is full of the power of God, and it will energize us. Because this energy will never end. So I'm not so sure about that. Well, get into your Bible. The Word of God says it is settled forever in heaven. It is the eternal Word of God. And it will always have its power. It will never lose its power. Sure, the Energizer Bunny can boast of endless energy. But only God can provide it. Amen? We talked about the inspiration of God's Word the last time we addressed this passage. Today I want to look at the motivation of God's Word. When we realize that it is powerful, it should energize us. When we lose our spiritual connectedness, we need to check our spiritual well-being. Because God's power never stops energizing. Now I know that there are some of you here who might say, well, Pastor, you know, I have my Bible right here. I read it every day. I'm seldom ever absent from church or Bible study, and yet I still feel at times spiritually disconnected. And I understand that. But it isn't because of a lack of God's power. Amen? He has endless power. And this book will energize you. And so if you have a problem not getting energized from the Word of God, the problem isn't God, because He has infinite power. And He has so energized His Word. Problem lies with you and I. What does God say about the Word that comes forth out of His mouth? Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 55:11. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And all the words written in the Bible have been breathed out by God and given unto holy men. That was the inspiration that we talked about last time. And the writer of Hebrews references that when he says the word of God is quick, it is alive. But then he moves to the point where it is an energizer. It is powerful. Because it will accomplish, the Bible says, what God wants. And it shall not return unto me void. How many of you remember that? God's word will never return void. There are times that I'm up here and I'm preaching, and I feel like maybe the sermon's falling on deaf ears. You know what? It is this verse in Isaiah 55:11 that keeps me preaching. Amen. Because I know God will accomplish what He desires. Because the Word of God will energize God's people. He promises that in the rest of that verse. He says, it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's indicative of the fact that God's Word is powerful. The power is there. Now, some of you are struggling with the fact, and how come I don't feel energized all the time when I go to the Word of God? I want to help you with that, because we all have that struggle. Let me start with maybe an illustration that will help you to understand where the real problem is. Have you ever gone out to your car in the morning and the engine didn't kick over? You just got this, and you're scratching your head, you're going, that's a brand new battery in there. And so, you know, you call the mechanic, or if you're smart enough about automobiles, you pop the hood, and there you look at your battery. It hasn't lost any of its power. Maybe you pop the hood and you test the battery, and the battery's just loaded with juice. So what's the problem? And then you noticed on the terminals this white corrosion. And it's that corrosion that is hindering your connection to the power. That's just like us. The Word of God, the Bible says, can energize us. It has God's divine power. But sometimes the spirit within us is corrupted by the world, and there's no connection. For those that are tracking fans, I know Juan's one of them. One of the terms often used in Star Trek is the word energize. When they would try to transport people from the ship to the planet or vice versa, they would go into the transporter and they would turn on the transporter. But sometimes they couldn't get their officers from point A to point B because something was wrong. And in many of those episodes, there wasn't anything wrong with the power. The power was there. But they couldn't transport because there was something wrong in the matrix of the system. And they would have to fine-tune it. Am I right, Juan? They would have to fine-tune it. And then after they would get it fine-tuned, they would go ahead and hit those levers and it would be able to transport their officers from A to B. Well, that's kind of like our spirit. There are times we can't be transported into the presence of God because we've got some things we need to do to tune up the spirit within us. If you're born again, you have God's spirit. Amen? Amen. Getting quiet in here. I heard two amens. You born again? Say amen. Alright, then you have the Spirit of God in you. And it is by that Spirit that you talk to God's Spirit. That's why I come here every Sunday morning and pray for you. That you will lay aside the cares of the world, that you will be dead to the flesh and alive with the Spirit of God that's in you. But if you have sin in your life, and you have issues that you've not resolved, that you've got some corrosion on your battery terminals, you've got a problem in your buffering matrix, and you've got to deal with that. Because the problem isn't the Word of God. This is energized by God. Folks, I didn't choose the word. That's the Greek word that God used. And whenever I find the word that translates into our English language, I like to share that with you. And the Bible says that His word is energes. It is energized. And He energizes us. When we get depressed, we can go to the Word of God and we can be energized. When we're discouraged, we can go to the Word of God and be encouraged. But if you've got some issues in your soul, you're not going to connect. You're out of tune with God. That's why it's important to have communion. So you can get right with God. And your spirit can converse with His spirit. And He can energize you. So if you're getting into the Word of God and you're not feeling the power of God, the moving of God, the motivation from God is what we're talking about. Find out whether or not your connections are corroded. If you've got to tune up your matrix, as it were. Some believers have their spiritual battery cables corroding. And it's because of sin. And you know you have sin that you haven't dealt with God and He is holy. Maybe there's indifference. Or maybe you've just become too busy. Or maybe you are just not trusting God. Until you get those things right, you're not going to be in tune with the Spirit of God. The Word of God cannot energize you without a clean, clear connection. Amen. Listen, I'm not making this stuff up. This is all Bible. Paul said to the church at Corinth, chapter 7, verse 1. He said, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh." And note this, I found it interesting. "And spirit." We can contaminate a spirit, amen? Not just our flesh. We can contaminate the Spirit of God in us so that when we get into a spiritual book, we don't feel spiritual. And then we want to blame God. Something wrong with this book. No, nothing wrong with the book because it has eternal energy from an eternal God who is infinite and will never lose its power. Sorry. We have looked at inspiration, that God breathed the power into His Word. It is a living book. It's a book that motivates us. It energizes us. But the writer of Hebrews also says the Word of God is penetrating. Where does it say that? Let's go back to verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living. It's quick, powerful, energizes us. Now note this. And is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, that means apart, and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I use that verse to title the sermon, that this is the discerning Word of God. The Word of God is inspired. The Word of God is energizing, but it is also penetrating. Sharper than an two-edged sword. Now, why does the Bible say that? Well, in the time that this was written, the world had been conquered by the Roman Empire. The two-edged sword was the most powerful weapon in the New Testament times, known as the Roman sword. Did you know that a Roman soldier always carried two swords? One was a very long sword used to thrust at the enemy. But the second sword was the one that he kept in his sheath, in his belt. That sword was a two-edged sword. It cut both ways. So when they came into hand-to-hand combat with their swords, it would cut either way that it was used. The Romans used it to conquer the world. And so the writer of Hebrews, by divine inspiration, used this term because it was a term the whole world would understand. The Bible cuts like a razor sharp Roman sword. And it tells us it's so sharp, it pierces even to the dividing asunder, to make it divided apart, of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? Very simple. Sounds complicated. When God created us, the Bible says that He created us in Genesis 1:26 in His image. And I used to scratch my head at that and say, wait a minute, God is invisible. I'm not invisible. So what does that mean? God created us in His image. Well, as we study the Bible, we find that there is a doctrine known in the Bible as the Trinity. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like God created man in His image, we are a Trinity. He created us a trichotomy. And the Apostle Paul and other writers confirm this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul said this, I quote, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now listen carefully. "And I pray God," number one, "your whole body and soul," "your whole spirit and soul and body." So you have body, soul, and what? Spirit. And Paul alludes to that. We are a trichotomy. We have physical life, we have psychological life, and we have a spiritual life. In fact, the Greek word translated in the Bible from the word soul is psuche. It is the word from which we get, again, an English word, psyche. The psyche refers to the mind. And that includes our emotions, our will, our intellect. That's what makes us different. That's what gives us personality. Emotion, will, and intellect. But we are more. Not only do we have a physical body, a psychological life, we also have a spiritual life. Because God has given all of us spirit. Now you need to listen very carefully, especially if you're here this morning and you're not absolutely positively sure if you die you go to heaven. God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to go through life scratching your head, fearing that you'll die and be separated from Him forever. He desires you to be with Him forever. But you'll never get to be with God until your spirit can interact with the Spirit of God. So He wants to energize your spirit and give you a living spirit. Because you know what? The spirit that's in you right now, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, it's a fleshly type of spirit, if you allow me to use that term. It's dead. Many of you have heard the doctrine of regeneration and probably not sure what that means. That means that the spirit that's within you before you're saved is a dead spirit. And it needs to be revived. And so the penetration of God's Word does that. The penetration of the Word of God is the dividing asunder, dividing apart of soul and spirit. And it refers to a number of things. First, our spiritual conversion experience. Listen, before we were saved, the Bible says we were dead in our what? Trespasses and sins. And Paul talks about when we got saved, we were quickened, meaning we were made alive spiritually. Before you were saved, your spirit was dead and entombed in your soul. And they are never separated, by the way. The physical body will depart because it is but a temporary vessel. So when you die, your spirit and soul will go back to the God, to our God who gave it. We are more than flesh and blood. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 express the fact that the spirit of man, listen, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Is your candle lit or is your candle out? What good is a candle in the dark if it ain't lit? Now, we don't use candles like they did when the Bible was written. But what good is a flashlight with no batteries, right? Or no bulb? Solomon said the spirit of man is the candle of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of the body or the belly. The penetration of the Word of God is dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. And only God can quicken your spirit. Only God can make it alive. Only God can light the candle, as it were. Without the light of God in your life, you'll never, never, ever understand spiritual things. You'll never be in tune with God because your spirit is kind of lost in the matrix. It's corrupted. Listen, Paul said this, and many of you have experienced this. I know I have. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul said this, but the natural man or the carnal person, he can't receive. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I'm going to repeat that. I want you to listen carefully. The Apostle Paul is given this by God through inspiration. He says the natural man, the unsaved man, the unregenerate man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Meaning, he doesn't have a spirit in tune with the Spirit of God. The spirit in him is dead. Now, I truly remember this being unsaved. Many years ago when I was dating my wife, I would go there and oftentimes, you know, you wait for your date patiently, and I would sit on the couch in her mom's house in front of the coffee table, and there would be a Bible. Now, I know it was there for my purpose, but anyway, I would want to show how spiritual I was flipping through this Bible and all the time saying, I don't have any clue what this is talking about. But I wanted her mom to see how spiritual I was, you know. But you know what? Only God can resurrect the dead, amen. And I haphazardly came across a verse in the Bible. That verse penetrated my soul. And there are some of you here today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That verse cut like a two-edged sword. It said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. That verse jumped off the page and it divided asunder my spirit and my body. And I remember telling my wife, I have to talk to your pastor about this. See, I grew up in the church all my life that said you needed a mediator, and the priest is the only one who could mediate for you. Thank God for my dear wife and for my former pastor. God rest his soul. In fact, he came immediately and he explained what this verse meant. Now, I didn't take his word for it, but it penetrated. I went to the priest and he just kind of said, son, you can't understand these things. Just leave that to the priest. But no, the Bible says there is only one mediator between God and man. It's Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And it was that verse that launched me on my path to being born again. Amen? That's what it means when the word of God can penetrate your soul and spirit. And he still does it today, even to us who are saved. There are things going on in our lives, even as Christians, that we know is wrong, don't we? And when we get into the Word of God, God's Word says, well, what are you doing? Amen? You know, it penetrates. It cuts like a two-edged sword. And you may be going on in your life knowing that it's sinful, and you get into the Bible and God uses that verse and it cuts both ways. ways and it penetrates. It is God's Word that judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Look at the verse again as we finalize looking at it in Hebrews chapter 4. It tells us that the Word of God discerns for us. It tells us that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of your heart. Now, I found that very interesting, because there are some times that we don't even know the depths of the evil of our own heart. Now, I know that some of you are probably starting to get a little upset with Pastor, but that's okay, because I have to preach the Word of God whether we like it or not. It is Jeremiah who told us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? It's only one person can know it, but God. God's Word judges the thought and intent of the heart. It reveals our thoughts and our attitudes for who we really are. Because you know what? If we're honest and transparent before God, we really don't know ourselves as we should. So we must let the Word of God reveal to us who we really are. And you've got to get into the Word of God and let it energize you. Let it penetrate. But that won't happen if you're not in tune with God. Say, how do I do that, Pastor? You should never open the Bible and just begin to read it without saying, oh God, please speak to my heart and help me. And if I have any sin, Lord, that is keeping me from you and hearing you and being in tune with you, convict me. And you know what? He will convict you. He will bring you to tears. But so often we just go haphazardly to the Bible. We're just actually doing a spiritual exercise. Oh, I did my devotion for the day and I'm done. Said my prayer. I'm off to work. What did that do for you? That's like having a cup of coffee with no coffee. God's Word will reveal to us the wickedness inside of us. And maybe some of you have been there and you don't like it, so you don't do it anymore. Well, you'll never grow. You'll never be sold out for the Lord. You'll never grow spiritually. And you know what? God can't bless you if you don't grow spiritually. Why? Because you're saved. You're His child. What do you want Him to do? Bless you in your wrongdoing? How many of you parents bless their children when they do wrong? Not a good parent. Good parent is going to say, look, I love you, but I do got to punish you. You have to learn from your mistakes. Those things that we keep hidden from everyone else, God knows. Do you ever just think about that? Listen. The Proverbs, and Solomon was given the greatest wisdom of any man except the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. So what you think nobody knows, God knows all about it. Amen? I'll give you another one that's really powerful and it's encouraging to me. Not only does God know what's going on, He wants to be a help to you in every situation of life. Go to 2 Chronicles. That's Old Testament. Go back to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. And this verse is very likened to Proverbs 15:3. But it goes a little further. And I hope that it will encourage you. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 says, now, for the eyes of the Lord. Now, we just heard that from Proverbs. But this one says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, meaning back and forth, throughout the whole earth. I like that, because that means that God knows each and every one of us. Okay? So the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself. What's that next word? Amen. Thank you, Gary. We got one person in 2 Chronicles 16. Nah. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the horde to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Amen. So how do I have a perfect heart toward him? Only way to do that is to be saved. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. The word perfect there conveys the idea of maturity. That you have come to the place where you recognize you're a sinner, one of the four spiritual laws. That God loves you. That you're a sinner. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ. Do you want to have eternal life? Do you want to have a soul that's in you, that's alive, that can commune with God? And that when you come into church, you can really worship? You can really have God speak to you? Only way that's going to happen is if you're saved. And for those of us who are saved, we need to keep the line of communication open by going to God and confessing our sin. Remember 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, that means we still sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The rest of that verse says, "Herein thou hast done foolishly talking to King Asa." Because he didn't go to the Lord. He tried to find strength in the man's army. God was displeased with that. That was a fleshly thing. By the way, David did the same thing. I've got to hurry. Our time is up. But the word discerner in this passage comes from the Greek word Christos, from which we get our word critic. Makes sense, right? It means to judge. So that the Word of God judges our innermost thoughts. It judges our motives. And those things that we really don't want to come face to face. It's like going to the mirror, you know? I got up this morning and looked in the mirror and my hair is sticking straight up. I got to thinking about this verse. Now what if I didn't look into the mirror today? I would have came into the church looking like I had a porcupine head. We go to the mirror so we can what? Clean up our act. Well, the Bible is energized by the Spirit of God to clean up our spirit. Amen? See, we don't see ourselves as we really are. None of us. Because we're sinners. But God's Word is likened to a spiritual mirror. The Bible causes us to realize that nothing is hidden from God. That's why when you come to church, just be open and transparent. You can't fool God. He knows what you're doing in the dark. He knows what you're doing secretly. And you know what? Even amidst our frailties and our flaws, God loves us. Amen. I'm not saying He condones sin. I'm saying He loves us. And the proof that a father loves their child is that when a child is wayward, there needs to be discipline. And the Bible says that He, our Heavenly Father, disciplines only His children, whom He loveth. God's Word causes us to see ourselves as we really are. This is so we will take advantage of the promises that are in the Bible. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So you can't just stop hiding them. God knows them anyway. But whoso confesses and forsaketh them, he has mercy. So get with God before you open this book and say, God, I want to be energized. I want the Word to penetrate. Change me. Help me to see me for who I really am, that I can glorify you. We have to close. I think that as we examine one of the most important verses in all the Bible, Hebrews 4:12, and that's why we've spent over 2 weeks on it. And we won't do this with every verse or passage in Hebrews, but this is one that we truly as believers we need to assimilate and practice it in our lives. We need to be more interested in hearing what God has to say to us than telling God what we think. God already knows what you think. Simply receiving the Word of God is not enough. We must apply what we have learned. God wants to change you for the better, but He won't force it on you. He will not. Because within the creation perfection, there is free will. It is your choice. The question this morning is, will you allow the power of God's living Word touch you? Will you allow the power of God's Word to convict you? Will you allow the power of God's Word to energize you, to move you to higher spiritual ground and point you to being like Jesus? Or will you ignore the Word? Will you not even bother to open the pages of the Bible and allow God to show you how much He loves you? When you open up this book, God speaks to you, and you know what? That tells me that He loves me. Flaws and all, He wants to help me to be better. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we're coming to our communion, and I thank You for this special ordinance of the church, because it helps us to hit our spiritual reset button, as it were. And so right now, may all of us do business with You. If we have unconfessed sin, may we confess it openly and honestly before You, that our spirit will be in tune with Your spirit, and that we might be filled in our spirit with Your spirit. We recognize that the first Sunday of every month, Father, we gather together to be obedient to Your instruction of the Lord's Supper. Help us to pay respect to Jesus Christ, because truly this is a memorial to Your Son who died in our place, who became the ultimate fulfillment of deliverance from sin and death when He died on the cross, shed His blood, and rose from the dead. Oh, bless us together as we have this sweet communion. And Lord, if there's any among us who have not received Christ, may today they know that all they need to do is to repent and say, God, I'm a sinner. I am so sorry. Forgive me of my sin. Help me, God, to live a holy life. But I receive Jesus Christ's full payment for all of my sin, past, present, and the future. And I acknowledge His resurrection, and I accept to be born again with the Spirit from You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to ask our deacons if they will come and prepare the table. And if you are here and you know the Lord is your Savior, and you've been baptized, because that's the first ordinance of the church, an ordinance that we follow in obedience, to be baptized. And if you have made things right with maybe